The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
And welcome to a very special edition of Stunt Granny Audio. Why is it a special edition? It's a three-man booth. That's right, Tony Schiavone here along with, Jesse the Body Ventura and Lee Marshall.
What was Scott's last name? Scott Hudson.
Yep. And actually, I hesitated because as soon as I thought about who the three-man booths were on WCW Nitro, I thought, okay, I just said Tony Schiavone's name, which means somebody's got to be Mark Madden, and I wouldn't wish that on my mom if she fell down the stairs. So, I had a fundamental flaw in that. What about her? I'll pause anything to hear more about my mom.
Sure you will. Your mom wants you to imagine what it's like to be alone with other people. So.
Oh, God.
my English advisor's guitar gently weeps for what she's doing to language. But anyway.
Nice.
Yeah.
For those of you who are avid followers of Stunt Granny Audio, you realize that all the voices on the line here are Eric Nelson, Dusty Giebink, and Kevin DeFrango. Dusty, I'll start with you.
Yeah.
How are things going on this lovely evening?
Well, it's really sunny here in Fond du Lac, but I don't have to tell you that.
No, I was dreaming the entire way down the back roads of Missouri, which, by the way, in Missouri, the interstate counts as a back road. That I was in. Warm and dreamy, sunny Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, buying a brand new car from Holiday Automotive, getting a brand new Chevy Impala.
you would have to, because they bought out the other big dealer here in town. So they're the show. They're the whole show here.
And before I start asking Kevin about dealers, what big dealer are you talking about? Don't worry, Kevin. No one's listening.
Trust me. I'm not worried. It was such a ridiculous setup from yesterday. I almost thought about mentioning it anyway. Oh, my God.
No.
My neighbors were acting like a bunch of fucking high schoolers when they came to me with their offer that I was not supposed to refuse.
Yeah.
I was just
wait a minute, dude.
Like, they waited like an hour to bust open the question to me. I'm like, seriously? You want a three-way?
Which is funny because I was going to, because of that inquisition, I was going to make some reference to Sipowicz and his spaghetti and meatballs. But then I realized that just perpetuates the spaghetti conversation like we have every fucking.
Every episode we're talking about that shit, man.
So. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't even know what we're talking about. I'm just
Once again, avid followers of Stunt Granny may have a fleeting idea of what we're talking about here.
Possible.
Let's just go ahead and leave it at that. Oh, my God. Hey,
okay.
I've got a random thought for everybody. I was listening at work, I admit, to a podcast with, it was on GuitarCenter.com, a podcast with Alkaline Trio, and their lead singer mentioned INXS, and he specifically mentioned their album Kick. He said, oh my God, what a great record that was.
Sure.
And like, I don't really know INXS all that well, other than I know their hits, you know, Need You Tonight and Never Tear Us Apart and all that stuff. I didn't realize that four of their five biggest hits all came from the album Chip. So I just went ahead and downloaded it earlier today and synced it up to my iPad so I could listen to it here on the road. Holy shit, what a great album. Does that sound weird?
No, I used to listen to that all the time back in the day, so
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So,
Jeff,
what are your opinions?
I'm more of a fan of this and like these.
Of who is that again?
Listen Like Thieves, I think, is their best album.
Ah, yes. Now, that was one before that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was when they were dipping their toe into, you know, stardom. Not quite
there. Right, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and look that one up just to see.
Yeah. I'd give it a 4 stars. Like... Meltzer's wife.
Well, Meltzer's wife would be exactly right. Let's see. What else? What other albums? Kevin, what album or albums might surprise everybody if we found out that you listen to them on a regular basis, whether now or back in the day?
Hey.
What the shit did... Well, back in the day, I don't know if anybody would be surprised that I still have... first Twisted Sister tape, Under the Blade, in my music collection. Then recently, I can't believe that I've delved into somewhat some popular music. So the fact that I have given the Black Keys a chance is something of a surprise to myself personally.
Yeah, I could see that. I see some merit in that band, actually. Of all the, like, hot bands that, you know, I don't know if you and I define pop in different ways. Like, I was just expecting you to say, like, Nicki Minaj or something like that. Like, oh, my God, she had a groundbreaking album or something. But to me, the Black Keys are one of those bands, like, that are in the My Morning Jacket and TV on the Radio sort of vein where it's like, you know, you have to grow a fucking handlebar mustache to listen to it. But I get the Black Keys are the ones, I think, in that vein that probably are the best. Which, you know, usually isn't saying much, but I actually mean they're good. Dusty, I don't think, for me personally, we talk about musical, I don't think anything you listen to would surprise me. But if you had to just throw something out there, what album or albums do you think would surprise the listeners most that you are a big fan of?
Well, before I answer that specifically, I want to filibuster you by giving a shout-out to a new band I was just turned on to. And they're not really a new band, but they're new to me. Gaslight
okay.
Anthem.
Yes! Oh, yes. The 59 sound, baby.
Yeah, absolutely excellent. And they deserve a shout-out. I've never mentioned them on here, and I don't think anyone else has. Gaslight Anthem. Check them out. They're great.
I actually saw them open up for Alkaline Trio and Rise Against in 2007, and it was a phenomenal concert.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah, to answer your specific question, I don't know if anything I listen to would surprise anybody. I don't know. Because I'll listen to anything,
to think of-
you know?
Oh, absolutely. I'm trying to think of anything that maybe caught me off guard. Like, here's what, when I think of Dusty Giebenk and musical interests.
Yeah.
Well, you know, some of the first things I think of are the Flaming Lips. I think of Motley Crue. You know, I catch you rapping every once in a while. So it's like, okay, there immediately I can knock out. Yeah. I mean, good rap is good rap.
Yeah, sure. I'm not above owning some DMX, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Got some DMX in my collection. I got a Juvenile disc in my collection. That might be embarrassing. Maybe
I don't know if that's embarrassing. I'm actually kind of surprised to hear that, though. Juvenile.
Okay, well, there you go.
There you go. Fantastic.
If you dig deep enough, you know, You'll find something.
Yeah. It's also kind
hey,
of a,
is
so
Jeremy
a fun
on
game
this audience?
Oh. No. I thought I heard something there in the background, but I'm assuming he's left Columbus by now, right?
Who, Mays?
Yeah.
yeah, no, he's long gone.
He's moved
no.
from guy on your couch to guy with a promotion at his job.
Wow.
Yeah, and then he's got to call off sick the second day that he's in said promotion.
yeah. Yeah. I'm sick.
It might be an all yeah. week thing. You never know. It just kicks, it keeps kicking in and kicking out.
nice. oh, fantastic. Oh, man. Do we have to talk about wrestling? Let's talk about
ECW reunion.
Oh, my God. What a great topic. And I'll tell you what, too. I received an email from our friend Dan Keister, who put together a guest editorial about the Extreme reunion, and he was reminiscing about ECW back in the good old days. And he asked if that was something I could possibly post on stuntgranny.com. So, before we get deep into the weeds of, no pun intended, of the Extreme reunion, I just want to let everybody know that if you're looking at this audio at the top of stuntgranny.com, scroll down just a little bit and read the guest blog written by Dan Keister, taking a look back at ECW. It's actually cool because me and you, Dusty, talked to Dan about a year and a half ago or a year ago whenever TNA did that Extreme reunion of their own and reminisced about ECW a little bit. Some of the thoughts got picked up on PWTorch.com in a VIP audio with Wade Keller and Bruce Mitchell. That was kind of neat.
Yeah.
And then you went ahead and covered the Extreme reunion for StuntGranny.com. Why don't you kick off the conversation there?
I was all over that beat this weekend, and specifically because I have no life, but that's okay. The main topic of interest is that Sabu is going to die. So.
Oh, my God.
I hope you have him in your wrestler pool because... I think that'll pay off by the end of the year, it sounds like. Look, I'm no expert. I'm no expert on drugs, but when you're in rough shape and you get rushed to the hospital and then you check yourself out,
yeah,
you're probably a drug addict. And you probably check yourself out because you're good enough to get your next score, you know?
Yeah, there's a certain level of I feel good enough to check myself out of the hospital that diminishes greatly under the influence of heavy, heavy drugs for many, many years, like Sabu is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So. Oh, and Axel Rotten, I didn't report this on the site, but apparently he got into a car accident and broke 8 ribs.
Oh, for the love of God.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, I can't believe his stomach didn't act as a cushion there.
A natural defense mechanism, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, natural airbag.
I think I likened him to Dusty Rhodes that one time he showed up on Monday Night Raw during the second ECW invasion.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Wow, I had no idea. I honestly, I did such a poor job of following the lead up to Extreme reunion other than knowing it was happening and knowing that Shane Douglas was involved. I had no idea Axel Rotten was even going to be there.
Neither did I.
Well, see, another thing, two people who should be following this, he could have saved himself a lot of trouble by not even driving to the show because the two people who should have been paying attention didn't know he was going to be there.
It could have been like the mass transit incident where he no-showed, you know?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Which, by the way, it was Paul Heyman could have saved himself a lot of trouble by paying Axel's airfare because he didn't want to, drive from Baltimore to wherever the fuck Podunk City it was And Heyman didn't want to chip anything in, so that's why no showed. And then mass transit happened. So, Paul Heyman's an idiot.
You know, it's funny how many travesties in professional wrestling can be tracked back to somebody with the last name Rotten.
Yeah, but most of them go to Ian, so.
Yeah.
Ian is aptly named. He is Rotten. So.
He is Rotten. I would have rather put a bus driver's outfit on a pizza oven and had that be my opponent.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
Agreed.
I'm just mixing my metaphors. I apologize.
That's fine. That's fine. Say, Axel broke his ribs, and you had some ribs, so.
Oh, God, don't remind me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord. Speaking of things that should not be.
Did you have the ribs, or did they have you?
Oh, my God. What is this fucking barbecue I ate is trying to eat its way out of me? Kevin, just so you know, when we got to Springfield, we got to the Doubletree Hotel by Hilton. And in the parking lot, we it's me and a coworker, and we decided not to eat at the restaurant in the hotel because I like barbecue, and there's a barbecue restaurant in the parking lot. I should have been tipped off by the fact that there was a drive-through window on the other side of this restaurant, but I was blinded by the smell, you might say, of the smoker in the back. So we decided to go to this barbecue joint, and it's called Buckingham's Barbecue in Springfield, Missouri. And as soon as we walked in, I noticed the plaque on the walls that said that this restaurant was voted on by readers of the Springfield News Leader as the best barbecue in the town of Springfield, Missouri. Which, as I said to Dusty, leads me to one of two conclusions. Either A, the readers of the Springfield News Leader don't know their ass from a hole in the ground, or B, the other barbecue restaurant in Springfield is Arby's, because this place tasted like dog shit taco. And it is currently escaping me one gaseous emission at a time, and I might have to switch rooms if they have another available one here.
Oh, that's too bad. You might have to look up the number two place there in Springfield just to see if it tastes even worse.
I think I'm about to have a number two because of that. You were just fucking waiting for it.
Just sitting there eating it, yes.
By the way, Dusty, if you haven't gone to Stunt Granny to see the caption I put on the photo for Dan's blog, you got to go there now.
I'm at it.
And while you're doing that, I'm going to scroll down and see the rest of your write-up for the ECW reunion. Jesus Christ. Sabu shirtless and slumped over in his hotel room chair.
Yep. He looks great. He's going to be just fine.
His fat old man Bombay Michigan titties just hanging out everywhere. By the way, everybody, please, God, if you have not yet, I don't know why you haven't read Dusty's reviews of the show. The picture of the two dinosaur skeletons. Oh, my God. Everybody go to the article titled Extreme Reunion 2012 was a rousing success. And check out the photo and the accompanying caption. Oh, if you don't piss yourself laughing, you have no soul. And then the picture of Just Incredible fucking recreating the Sabu photo in front of the elementary school hand-washing fountain. Unbelievable. I love the fact that Just Incredible only has ever owned one pair of black tights.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And
several
even though he's
shirts,
got a... Yeah, well, I was going to say, even though he's got a fat gut hanging out, it looks like he's wearing a corset under his got blood sleeveless T-shirt.
Yeah, it does. It does.
I swear to God, you guys, as soon as I looked at this photo of Just Incredible, I thought to myself, at what point does a professional wrestler lose all confidence in himself and just let himself go to absolute shit like this?
Yeah.
I mean, I look at this thing and think, what's that?
I think he served one too many Antonio Cesare's.
With extra hot paste picante.
That's right.
I mean, Justin, fucking incredible. Have the common decency to go get a fake tan before the show.
Seriously.
It's like the only color on his skin is the hair on his forearm. Jesus Christ.
Well, when you're cooking at Olive Garden, there's you can't get that much sun.
Oh, my God, I guess.
Yeah, he's working double shifts. You know? So.
Oh, that's
I can tell you
great.
That I don't ever want to see that show. I don't want my eyes to look at anyone, not a second of that show. Like, if you strap me down to a chair, tie me up, and force me to watch this, I will find a way to kill myself before you hit play.
You'll basically look like Just Incredible in this photo.
That's right.
Before the title screen hits the TV. Oh, my God. I mean, that's just fantastic.
Yep.
And there's so much to talk about, but, you know, there are three of us, and we got about an hour-long show, so I'm trying to find the high points of this thing. I think, honest to God, I think the best part about this entire write-up is that the crowd actually turned on the show halfway through.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're smart fans, so, you know, that's the risk of running a shitty show in front of smart fans. You know, like whenever, here, perfect example, King of the Ring in Philadelphia, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Can we call them smart fans if they expected something other than a disaster that they got?
Okay, I take everything back. these people paid money to go see that. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, because from last counts, when I watched several of these guys in TNA, they looked terrible there. And it's been, a couple of 2-3 years since then?
Yeah.
I would wager a guess that for anyone, time is not in your favor.
That's like challenging your grandma to a push-up contest in 2010. Doing it again in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And then, like, okay, let's see. By the way, this is my favorite part. This is my favorite sentence in the entire write-up that Dusty posted, where they tried to recreate the Kimono Wanalea striptease.
Oh, God.
This stripper basically just rides it around on the mat like a sizzling piece of bacon in a skillet.
That's art. That's using language as an art form.
Mm-hmm. It really is. That's metaphor.
Is it wrong of me to keep laughing at Cripple H?
Cripple H, yeah, that's fantastic.
Who may actually be paralyzed.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. I mean, I really don't know what else to say other than I hope this is the end, but I fear this is actually the beginning.
It's absolutely not the end.
Well, it sounded like that they tried to introduce... I keep referring to they, but by they I mean Shane Douglas. It sounds like Shane Douglas was actually trying to introduce new characters into the mix.
Yep.
In the thought that this is going to continue from here?
Yep.
My God.
They
That's the impression that I get.
They need a lot more new faces than they had, than the two guys that nobody knew.
Well, yeah, and the old faces aren't doing anything.
Every match.
Yeah, somewhere along the line, Shane Douglas failed to learn how to promote a show and structure a show and possibly cut a promo and maybe even wrestle, other than the flying crossbody block.
The
clothesline. Oh man. Extreme Reunion to air on tape delay on iPay-per-view. Let's see if we can get an exact date on that by going to extremereunion.net.
Oh boy. Well, you're gonna give them a hit.
Yeah, whatever. Why not? They need all the help they can get. By overwhelming demand, the fans spoke and we listened. iPay-per-view on taped delay coming this week. Well, we're recording this on Tuesday, so there ain't a whole lot of week left, guys.
Well, they're ready. They think that they can gross more money than Avengers this weekend. I'm sure that's their plan.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
They're going to release it midnight on Friday, and they're going to hope they get one theater's worth of Avengers money.
Right. Oh, unbelievable. Well, I don't know. I guess I don't know what else to say. Dusty, you're on the beat. Is there anything else worth talking about this in any more detail, or should we just send people the write-ups and move on with our lives?
I mean, it's just sad. It's all just so sad. And, yeah, it's like a train wreck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, my God, what's happening here? So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. It's just, please stop. You know, just if somebody is listening, please stop. Shane, stop it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Even if there's somebody listening that that knows these chuckleheads, just completely unnecessary. Like, there are just times that you just need to stop, and they are certainly in that territory, along with certain members of TNA that just need to stop too. So,
agreed. Well, that was Saturday night, correct? Was that the night of the pay-per-view? Oh, what the hell is this? Is that right? Was that Saturday?
I don't know, man.
4/28. Yep, that was Saturday.
Yep.
Sunday night, we were treated to WWE Extreme Rules. Extreme Rules. Oh, my God. I just saw... Boy, these are starting to get to be like against all odds and sacrifice and everything else. I had a hiccup there for a second where I thought maybe it was called Over the Limit, but it wasn't. It was Extreme Rules.
Used to, there'd be four of them, and you'd fucking remember what they were fucking called, but that's me being a fossil, isn't it? So.
Kevin, any particular high points of this show that you feel like we need to hit?
Well, considering I did not view this thing, it sounded like we got some pretty solid wrestling out of the event.
Yes, actually it did. Yep.
I am not surprised that Chris Jericho and CM Punk were among the participants that were said to have had the best match, so...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what else to, the ending, I guess, was a bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah.
Although, John Cena winning in heroic fashion.
In that manner, it wasn't surprising. The fact that he won was kind of strange, but it seems that they had a plan in place here, I would say, after having watched Monday Night.
Right.
So, I will allow them, despite many many ties of being burnt, I will allow the WWE to have a little more rope to tell this story here.
Yeah. Let's see. Dusty, any thoughts on, just any thoughts on the show in general?
Well, the internet blew up, didn't it, with that Cena result?
Yeah.
On one hand, it's like you want them to have some patience because it's storytelling now. Pay-per-views aren't the end of anything anymore. It's just like a continuation. So have some patience. Let things play themselves out. On the other hand, yeah, it was totally a bizarre finish, and I don't really think I approve of it or could defend it in any way. And I want to take 5 seconds to point out how bizarre it is that Ryback got a squash match on a pay-per-view. Isn't that weird?
WWE has been trying this, not on a regular basis, but every so often you'll see kind of the unadvertised, you know, I think there might have been like a Santino versus Jack Swagger match at some point, or Jack Swagger, Evan Bourne, or something unadvertised. But to your point, the fact that there was a squash on a pay-per-view, it's like, could you make the pay-per-views that you're asking people to spend $59.95 for look a little bit more like the free TV show?
Exactly.
Really, as much as we talk about how squash matches would do so many things, it would decrease the incredible overexposure that these wrestlers get.
Yep.
You know, because what you're honestly like, I could read down the Extreme Rules pay per view, and it would read like Monday Night Raw or SmackDown. Kane versus Randy Orton is a match you would get on TV. Brodus Clay, Dolph Ziggler, Big Show, Cody Rhodes, even a Punk Jericho thing is the sort of thing that you get on free TV. Add to that Ryback versus two jobbers. And it's like, what in the hell sets this apart from the free TV show?
I mean, either you give him a C-level pushed guy, or else you keep him off of pay-per-view for the time being.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely have squashes on free TV, but on pay-per-view, no, you know?
Well, and two things I was going to say, too. Even the mystique of Brock Lesnar, which was a good reason to buy the pay-per-view, kind of, is gone. So he, as a pay-per-view draw, is probably gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with Ryback is, you know, they do this silly angle where everybody watches him backstage and laughs, and, it's so great to watch him kill all these guys. You know, make one of those guys step up to the plate. There you go. There's your C-level thing. There's your Bill Goldberg versus Steve McMichael feud, you know.
Bam.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean,
I can take this guy. Oh.
Right. and as far as the storytelling goes, like you said, you know, this could have been a months-long angle, but, you know, the Little Red Riding Hood, the story isn't once upon a time Little Red Riding Hood packed her picnic basket to go visit her grandma, saw a wolf and stabbed him in the fucking eye and killed him in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what we got here.
Well, Little Red Riding Hood, she sure is looking good. I think she's everything a big bad wolf could want.
Let's see. Kevin, what do you think of the Daniel Bryan Sheamus program as it advances?
Well, that would seem to be over again here.
Okay. You think we've had the blow off officially?
Yeah. No, I think that they're keeping Sheamus as champ. I mean, it'd be really pretty crazy for, and just in general with the WWE, Daniel Bryan had his first title run. It would be pretty surprising to me if they gave him another title back within the next calendar year. It's just the way the WWE works. So that would be pretty surprising to me. I mean, I guess you could stretch it out to another pay-per-view, but you know, again, kind of at least leaning somewhat on Raw there, I would think they have moved on.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And what we're going to see now is, thanks to one of those crutches that WWE leans itself on every 6 to 8 months, is Daniel Bryan's CM Punk match at Over the Rules or Under the Limit or whatever the hell it's called. Due to his winning of the Beat the Clock Challenge.
Well, isn't it exciting? All the matches are so close, you never know if they're going to beat the time or not.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you, I about bit my fingernails right off on some of those. The time was so close.
Did you? What about that last one where I mean, he really beat the clock in that last one? What about that second one where he almost beat the clock, but he didn't quite?
Yeah, and I can't believe Randy Orton got so lucky to only win with 3 seconds to go.
Hey, speaking of Randy Orton, I'm jumping around a little bit. Where does Sheamus go from? Well, first of all, I should probably keep an eye out for SmackDown spoilers, because they're probably going to do some shitty beat the clock challenge there too. But Kevin, where does Sheamus go from here?
That is a really good question, because SmackDown really has been swallowed by Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have, other than the championship, I just don't feel like they're building up a whole lot of anyone over there right now. Because you've got to have the Raw Rebound segment, which takes up, way too much time. I understand cross-promoting, I get it, but, you know, instead of making that an entire segment on your show, why don't you, maybe just cut it down to, a couple of 2-3 minutes or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like half a segment.
Yeah, like half a segment. It's just come on. Yeah. It's completely unnecessary how much they do it, especially since you already know that SmackDown isn't watched by nearly as many people.
Yep.
Right.
I'm sure that the few people, the third of the people or so that watch SmackDown didn't already watch Raw. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they could use that. And then it just seems like when they really did kind of, they were moving that way when they started doing the combined shows, but they were still letting kind of the undercard for SmackDown somewhat develop, but they've seemed to let that off the hook the last couple of months, I'd say.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's see. I am trying to, first of all, I'm trying to navigate WWE.com and go through their roster page.
Oh, good
luck. I hate that website, though.
Oh, my God. It's pretty rough. I think it's supposed to be, optimized for iPad.
That's
probably why it's not working here. They switched
Alberto
back. I'm 150
years old because I'm the only one in the world that doesn't have one of those. So.
The only reason I have one is I have it through work.
I understand.
I'm only borrowing one, basically. Alberto is now a member of SmackDown. I'm sure Christian will come back at some point.
Fuck,
Hornswoggle is on here.
Say that Del Rio was on there. Because I think in my almost live and definitely half-assed review there that I said, that matters or something like that. I don't know why it didn't dawn on me that he'd be the next guy for Sheamus.
Sure. Which is not exactly going to set the world on its ear, but whatever.
But
I don't know.
Alberto Del Rio, he has a great... and he's really good in the. He isn't really either of those.
You're trailing off there, man.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm excited for Friday's Beat the Clock Challenge.
Spoilers.
Jesus. I tell you what, here's one other interesting thing to point out. You know, maybe because we're older and jaded and we've seen everything, it might have just gotten past us in our radar. John Cena bled all over the place at the pay-per-view on Sunday. That hasn't happened in a long time. Dusty, is this a sign of things, or is it more just a matter of trying to be legitimate in everybody's eyes as they watch Brock Lesnar come back to WWE?
Well, I think they're trying to have it both ways. It's legitimate, but only when you know, it's soaked in Lesnar. And every other time, it's sort of the same old, you know, kid-friendly schlocky crap you always get. So, yeah, they're trying to double back on you and make it realistic. But you realize when you look at the sum total of things that it's only during Lesnar that it's realistic. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not buying.
Yeah, that's a thin line to tap dance too, because, you know,
it's
eerily similar to when Vince Russo was in charge of WCW in particular, and the announcers would do that thing where everything else on the show was fake and scripted, except for that thing which wasn't supposed to happen. You know, that's dangerous to do in a business where you're trying to draw money based on the entertainment value of everybody else on the roster.
I mean, it just would have made sense in one of the other matches for something to happen. It's called Extreme Rules.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what? There wasn't a random cut during a tables match. Or during a street fight, or I'm trying to think of what the stipulations were for some of the matches. Those are the only two that are coming to mind, honestly.
Kane could hook a fool or something, you know?
Randy Orton and Kane are just hating each other and tossing their fathers around left and right. But, they're not going to bust each other open.
Let's see. I think that about sums up Extreme Rules. For a pay-per-view called Extreme Rules, we had one guy win when his opponent put a foot through a table, and we had another guy win after getting his ass handed to him for 20 minutes, bleeding all over the place, and coming out victorious at the absolute last second.
Well, what was that WCW pay-per-view back in the day? Where they said anything goes, and then Ming got disqualified or something.
Yep, exactly. At WCW Uncensored, where Barry Darso, the Blacktop Bully, and Dustin Rhodes take it upon themselves. Actually, I think there was an agent that told them to blade. It was like, go ahead, blade whatever you want to do. And they were fired like 2 weeks later.
Yep.
Because it's an internationally traded... yes. That's right. Oh, my God.
And
I forgot about
no
old
penis.
Bill Dundee.
So.
He had no penis? Is that what he said?
I didn't say anything. What? I'm just sitting here, you know, I'm trying to contribute to this audio. I didn't say anything.
He and Terry Taylor have a lot in common.
They sure do, don't they?
He overcompensated with his umbrella.
Umbrella.
That's funny, too. One of my favorite things about that pay-per-view was being smart enough to watch all the way through the credits. I always loved how WCW pay-per-views had credits rolling at the end. You know,
yes.
WWF only really had that in the first couple of WrestleManias. But WCW did it every pay-per-view, so you'd see executive producer Virgil Runnels, and you're like, I wonder who Virgil Runnels is. And you see Virgil assistants to Virgil Runnels, including Greg Gagne. Ooh, I recognize that name. Terry Allen, T and an A, I wonder who that might have been. Janie Engel, I can't remember who Janie Engel was. And Bill Dundee, and it's like, wait a minute, that can't possibly be the same
Sir William that's hanging out
right.
with Lord Stephen Regal.
Yeah.
But then at the end of Uncensored, the credits roll in this little teeny tiny fine print that as I watched it back on my grainy VHS, I could barely make out, but it said something like, portions of this broadcast were taped 2 weeks in advance. It's like, well, let's think about this. Let's see, there was the match in the ring, and then there's the other match in the ring. Oh, and then there's that match that was wrestled in the back of a semi-trailer that was hacked apart and spliced together with a little bit of static to make sure that the edits were smooth. Oh, I wonder what was filmed 2 weeks in advance.
Hmm.
Oh, the only part where two guys bled and we never saw them again in that company. That's right.
Yep.
Good times. Well, let's see. Let's move on to Monday Night Raw, and I will be up for two things. One, the ratings news just came out via PW Torch and ProWrestling.net. Monday's WWE Raw breaking news. Raw drew a 3.33, which is 0.02 of a point up from last week's 2 hour block of time. The 8 to 10 Central, 9 to 11 Eastern time. But the funny thing is, the first hour drew a much higher rating, and it dropped off precipitously in the second hour. Possibly keeping in mind that Brock Lesnar showed up in the first half and then was escorted from the building.
Yep.
I don't know if that had anything to do with it. Dusty, any other thoughts on that?
Well, that was my theory that I was going to posit. People wanted to see Brock, and when they knew they weren't going to see him anymore, they started looking for other things to watch? Question mark?
Yeah. Kevin, do you have an exclamation point to follow that question mark?
Yes. Always blame the skinny fat ass.
He's so going to SmackDown.
that's me. We get Daniel Bryan and CM Punk there at the end of the program, and that's who they're going to blame.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not going to blame the guy that they are just completely botching, at least in my opinion, who will be Mr. Superman's next opponent, Lord Tensai.
No, and they also won't blame the guy who helped botch the Brock Lesnar thing, and I say that in all seriousness. I watched the entire opening segment as best I could as my MediaCom cable was breaking up a little bit, but I sat there and I thought, I'm going to trudge through this. I'm going to watch what happens as Triple H comes out to confront Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I just kind of let time go by, and I know part of it was because I was packing boxes to move, and so time just kind of just escaped me. But I thought today, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to hop on ProWrestling.net, and I'm going to reread what happened on Monday Night Raw last night. And as I'm reading, and Brock Lesnar comes out, and John Laurinaitis comes out, and they're talking, and Triple H comes out, and he's talking. And as I scroll down, I see the thing that says, bracket, Q2, bracket, Triple H is still talking.
Yep.
And granted, the first hour drew a higher rating than the second hour, but holy Christ, does every time Triple H comes out, does it need to be a 20-minute promo?
Right.
Now,
imagine being married to him.
Yeah. Honey, you know, last week, that rack of lamb was pretty good. It was a little bit on the dry side. But this week, it was a real load of crap. 20 minutes later, we finally get to the cranberry sauce. God.
and take the long way home. Fuck. I got to tell you, as I scroll through this, I'm just going to run down real quick what happened from Q5 to the overrun. We got the replay of Lesnar-Cena. We saw Randy Orton make his entrance for his match against Jack Swagger, who no one gives a flying fuck about. Yeah, that's the sound effect I thought I heard, too. I hear voices in my head. They say... fart. Primo and Epico lost their tag team championships to R-Truth and Kofi Kingston, who, by the way, have nothing whatsoever in common, so I have no idea how they got paired up.
It's a mystery.
Kind of like Evolution used to be.
Evolution is a mystery! Boiled eggs and cottage cheese!
Oh, Kane versus the Great Khali.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Beat the Clock Challenge. Beat the Clock Challenge, Daniel Bryan, Jerry Lawler, and John Cena promo, Lord Tensai Sakamoto, John Laurinaitis.
Yep.
I think we just pinpointed about 12 reasons why the ratings dropped off in the second hour.
You sure did.
JTG in the first hour? I mean...
Yeah, they were disappointed that he wouldn't be around later in the show. Right? Oh,
yeah,
no,
right.
That's not true. Yeah. I just realized our show is kind of like the early 90s Howard Stern. You're Stern, I'm Jackie laughing in the background, and Kevin is Fred, so...
Nice.
Yep.
Alrighty, I suppose I'll take that since I didn't listen.
It's a compliment. Fred is funny. I like Fred. It's a compliment.
Nice.
That women's match was 11 fucking seconds.
Oh, and did you catch, by the way, did you catch Jerry Lawler calling it a flawless victory on the part of Layla?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I did actually hear that.
Jesus. I don't know if that means as a sign of things to come that Layla L is going to win all of her matches in 15 seconds or less, but... other than that, I don't know. Kevin, did we miss any other high points of Monday Night Raw?
Because I was looking through here. Cause you, that's what JTG was about.
This is the sound of Kevin scrolling through the results of Monday Night Raw, hoping to God that there was something else worth talking about.
The number of things, just in almost all the leagues that I don't understand. Like the other one, it's not even the highlight. It's just another one that I just don't understand. Epico and Primo don't really matter, and you guys, and they've made that quite clear to us here recently.
Yeah.
But why, when you make a monstrous deal out of the smoking hot Rosa Mendez, why are they the ones that end up getting the Abraham Washington push?
Yeah.
Like... help somebody else out. Like, if you're going to use them as someone's mouthpiece, you don't really need them for them, who already has a manager and they're in a division that the WWE clearly doesn't give a shit about.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that's a great point. If you're going to get Abraham Washington over, having him associate himself with a tag team in WWE is not the way to do it.
Nope.
And to reiterate your point, if you're going to work so hard to get Rosa over, don't stifle mm-hmm. her by trying to insert another mouthpiece into the equation. Dusty, what do you think of the Abraham Washington thing?
I want to touch Rosa Mendez. Oh, is that what you asked? Oh.
It actually is, but no.
Oh, okay. All right, well, then we'll pretend that answered your question. All right, yeah.
There you go. All right, excellent. My God. Kevin, you running anything else yet?
No, I mean, unless, you know what, because, I guess the last time Jeremy and I did a show there, we kind of held off on talking about Mr. Tensai there, and since Dusty was the expert and got the jump on his signing before it wasn't a signing, and then it really was a signing.
Yeah.
It is as big of a disaster as I think it is so far, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I don't know. I didn't watch any of his matches in Japan. This is what I said to Jeremy, and I guess I still stick with it. Like, I was fine with Albert's in-ring work when he was around the first time around. And, like, adding just, like, all these, what the stereotypical Japanese moves to his repertoire, I don't think that's done him any favors in the ring, like, from what I've seen. Did he do those when he was over there? I mean, was that the style that he ended up working?
I was actually going to say whether he added to his repertoire or not, Dusty, I want to get your opinion on that. You're an Albert fan, and I agree that I was a big enough fan of his during his first run. That I feel like now, and in hindsight, it's okay to have liked Albert. It's okay to have liked Giant Bernard, but I kind of feel weird liking... I would feel weird if I liked Lord Tensai, because I really don't. So I want to get your opinion on what Kevin just said.
No, I mean, the secret code to booking him is making him like Dr. Death in 92. He's like big, strong butt kicker guy who came from mm-hmm. Japan, and he's going to kick everybody's ass. That's it. You know, it really is that simple. And they're throwing in all these accoutrements, all these bells and whistles to play up the Japan thing, and it's just not necessary. It's not at all what he was really about in Japan, and shouldn't be what he's about in America. It's just some idiot's idea to try to get him over, when it really is much more simple than that.
So. Oh, absolutely. It reminds me of, I actually watched, MVP has his own YouTube channel right now, and he's got interviews with wrestlers and other folks on there, and he actually has an interview with... Carlito up right now,
mm-hmm.
and somewhere or other I read or heard or Carlito said or something or other that Vince McMahon once told Carlito to spick it up a little bit, because if you listen to Carlito talk, you can hear a hint of an accent, but it's not nearly as pronounced as his on-air character. Now take that to, you know, we just rehired Albert. He's been in Japan. Yeah. It's going to be hard to hide all these facts. So let's play up that character, but in doing so, let's make him do a bunch of Oriental stuff. Let's make him do a bunch of gook stuff that he doesn't know how to do, and let's just shoot ourselves in the fucking feet like a goddamn retarded Yosemite Sam.
What are the odds that Vince McMahon uttered at some point in the last couple of months, gook it up?
Because I think there's a really strong chance
if it wasn't that, he said to jap it up.
There you go, yeah. He and Hogan love that word, the Jap brother.
And Ric Flair. Remember Ric Flair on Nitro one time said he was going to jap slap somebody. So.
That's right. I just thought that was the newest infomercial tool then you fucking chop up your vegetable split.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were selling that at the As Seen on TV store in the Mall of America right next to Pasta Mania, and that's where he came up with it. But yeah, you're right. That's a racial epithet. Nice. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, since we love ending these things on downers.
Yeah, we sure do.
I'm pretty sure by this time Kevin's already scrolled to the bottom of the article and hasn't found a goddamn thing worth talking about.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that was the last thing in the article. And the only thing that I was going to mention, just kind of in addition to Dusty's point, because just talking about the ass-kicking, like they're having him win his matches by beating the other guy up, but it's taking so goddamn long. It's just like, just have them whoop their ass and just have them, you know, have the ref call it. Like, if they cut that match, you know, time-wise in half like they do every other match that they put on Raw, like, I don't understand why that one ends up getting 5 minutes when every other match gets 2 minutes anyway. It's just like, make it one of the other two-minute matches. And then his ass-kicking looks a lot more profound than, you know, dragging it out for 5 minutes. Like, that's just another thing that's just driving me batty about the whole thing.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. If you watch, if you go to YouTube and you search any, like, WWF Superstars or Wrestling Challenge and you watch some squash matches, they're essentially 5-minute clips or maybe 6-minute clips, but really it's just the middle 2 minutes that are the squash matches.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just what you did. If you kick somebody's ass, you kicked his ass in short order, you know. You didn't drag it out.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess that was the only other thing that I wanted to mention, because after that, I'm out. They're just really, you know, just kind of hanging in there.
Yep, that sounds about right. Well, hey, I'll tell you what, let's not end this show on a negative note. Let's not be Debbie Downers here. Let's end things on a positive. Anarchia was let go from TNA. Dusty, final thoughts on Anarchia.
I'm going to qualify for food stamps, man.
Kevin, what about you?
Thank goodness I will not have to cover him in my blog ever again. And I hopefully will not have to cover Mexican America again either. I guess a quarter of it gone.
Yeah. Well, and I will add to that by saying thank goodness that Hernandez no longer has to cover for Anarchia. When members of the crowd yell, "You're no homicide," and Hernandez has to look at him and be like, "Ooh, ooh, ooh." all right. Well, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and sign off from this audio. We've spent an hour talking about the best and mostly the worst in professional wrestling. So I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to work out the rest of my Buckingham's barbecue before it works me out. Kevin, fill us in on your sippy time beer.
Well, I am still working on the 12-pack that Jeremy and Elise bought with her up here for WrestleMania. I think I have a couple of Commodore Perrys left from the old Great Lakes Brewing Company. So,
all right.
There's excellent. That, and then I will get a nice wide variety of beers when I go to see at the Real Mick Foley on Thursday here to see his comedy show. So I will have something up on the site either late Thursday or early Friday morning there about that
nice.
Experience.
All right.
So I am out.
All right. Well, for Eric Nelson, for Kevin DeFranco, for Yukon Cornelius, Michael Hutchins, the wonderful people at Holiday Automotive, I'm Dusty Giefink saying, "His name is Del Rio and he dances on the sand." We'll try to do better next time.
How's that for pile driving, Miss Daisy?